Good morning. I'd like to invite you to take out your bulletin inserts for the sermon outline this morning. It's a little cumbersome to keep all in your head today, so if you keep this in front of you, I think you might find that helpful. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, whether we find this passage refreshing or whether we find it discouraging, may we submit to your word this morning. Amen. A number of weeks ago, Pastor Eric asked me to preach today, this particular Sunday. Now, in the past, when I have spoken, I have not spoken from the current series or even from the current book of whatever our current series is. I usually try to find something that's related, maybe broaden the scope a little bit, but still kind of connects with what our series is. However, this time, Eric said that perhaps I could take, whatever passage happened to be next in the Ephesians series, just to keep it going. Now, I can at times be naively optimistic. So in my enthusiasm at being included in the actual series, I'm like, yeah, like, what's my text? And he said Ephesians 5, 22 to 24, and then I knew what was going on. Have you ever seen someone try to put a cat in a bathtub? Or put a cat on a leash? It's just madness as the cat desperately tries to escape until finally he just gives up and the poor owner has to drag what looks like a dead cat along the sidewalk. What was I going to do? The Bible says that cowards won't inherit the kingdom of heaven, so here I am. Like a cat in a bathtub. No, it's not so bad as all that. People get wound up over this passage sometime, and it's not nearly as much a difficult thing as people make it out to be. I'm so happy to be here this morning, and I'm happy to be right in these verses. I think we're going to have a wonderful time in the Word today. So this passage addresses wives in particular, so obviously it's for them. But also it's for the ladies who will be wives someday. It's for leaders and mentors who teach and train women. It's for young and old, for married and for single, to see the meaning of marriage as pointing to Christ and the church. And beyond all of that, this passage is for men. Men, you need to understand the responsibility that God has given women. In this area, there is a weight of office in being a wife that you need to understand. Wives have a God-ordained commission and responsibility in how they are to act towards their husbands. And husbands, you need to tremble with holy fear for what that means for you. So this passage is for all of us. To understand why we have these verses in the Bible, we of course need to go all the way back to the beginning. To the garden, to the fall. The reason we have these verses in Ephesians is because of what happened in Genesis. The relationship between men and women, husbands and wives, was fundamentally damaged. The fall and the resulting curse messed everything up, and the marriage relationship was deeply wounded. After Adam and Eve sinned, what did God say to Eve as part of the curse? He says that her desire will be for her husband and he will rule over her. Now there's much debate over what this means. There's many opinions. We're not going to get into all of that. I just want to point out a few things to set our context here. At its simplest and most basic level, God pronounces the start of the battle of the sexes. There is division in the marriage relationship. From now on, authority and submission are going to be a problem. in marriages. Now, we know that authority and submission are, they're good things. They're not bad. We see them in God himself, submission and authority, as Christ the Son submits all things to his Father. Authority and submission are good things in their order, and they're part of a healthy relationship. So why is this part of the curse? Well, in the curse, look at who is doing the leading. It's Adam. The command to not eat of that tree was given to him. And it was given to him before Eve was even created. She wasn't there when God originally gave the command. You can look this up, Genesis chapter 2, 16 to 17. He gives the command to Adam, and the very next thing he does is creates Eve. So Adam is responsible for her in knowledge of and obedience to the will of God. That was his job. And not only did he fail in his job, but the text also makes it clear that he was with her while she ate. He stood by silently while she fell into sin, which is all too common among husbands. And then after he joined her in her sin, he promptly throws her under the bus when God comes in judgment. The woman you gave me did it. It's her fault. As a leader, Adam is an absolute failure. Now just imagine Eve after all of this. What she must be thinking when God pronounces Adam's rule over her. This is the man that's going to rule over me? Are you kidding? He failed me in every way. I got to submit to him. Of course, we must point out quickly that she was not innocent either. She did know that she was not to eat of that fruit. She tells the serpent, "We are not to eat of it." So Adam did tell her, she knew. Moreover, if indeed Adam was there with her, it's not just his silence that was a problem, but she acted in direct defiance to her husband. He was there. She could see him, and she still takes. So she's not innocent either. But Adam's is the failure of leadership. And now she's supposed to respect his leadership after that. She's already rebelled against it once, and now at the very point where he has shown himself to be not worthy of respect is the exact place where she is supposed to show respect. That's tough. But despite that, still she desires him. That's a curious line. God says her desire will be for her husband. She desires to have him be a certain way. She desires his husbandry, his leadership. For that is how God has made it to be, but he is not that way. Her desires remain unfulfilled and she is faced with disappointment. So what happens? What happens is she takes the reins. And she begins to lead. She takes the role that is not hers. She says, if he won't do it, then I will. And she begins to lead. How many times have you heard a starry-eyed young girl say, but I can change him. Change him to what? A respectable man. That's what you see. She longs for a respectable man, a leader, a husband, a man worthy of respect. But what she gets is a failure in leadership, and so she takes over and tries to produce something in him that only God can produce. Failure is inevitable. And in the silence of Adam, so men everywhere abdicate their authority and submit to the leadership of their wives, which can only result in failure, and the broken relationship is stuck in this endless cycle of dysfunction. The picture of marriage as representing Christ and the church is distorted and sullied. So it's a big deal. A husband needs to lead or he cannot fulfill his role as a husband. And a wife needs to submit or she cannot fulfill her role as a wife. And the curse says that he will be a poor leader and she will be a poor submitter. The godly and holy roles of authority and submission lie shattered in the broken marriages of history. And because of this broken example, we find that we no longer like authority and submission. Because we have lost the holy vision. The holy example is ruined. But now at last, we have the rescue and restoration of marriage, as we start to see here in Ephesians. So we're going to talk about three things today. We're going to look at three questions. What is submission? Why do we submit? And to whom do we submit? This is directed to wives, but will have application for all. For the world loves broken marriages. It loves feminine men, and it loves masculine women. But most of all, this world loves broken women. I dare say women have suffered most in the battle of the sexes, and it must stop. So let's look more closely here. Let's start by looking at what submission is. What is submission? Stated plainly, submission is the embrace of another's leadership. Biblically, in marriage, submission is the joyful and willing female embrace of gentle and godly male leadership. The joyful and willing female embrace of gentle and godly male leadership is the very picture of how the church submits to Christ. So wives, do you want to know what this looks like? Look at what you represent. Christ is the authority. He is the leader. He is the head. The church submits. The church respects. And the church follows. Marriage represents this. Husbands are the authority. They are the leader. They are the head. The wives represent the church. They submit, they respect, and they follow. Wives to your husbands, as the church to Christ. And in that light, we can now start to see how overwhelming the curse actually is. Because in the light of Christ and the church, we're going to run into some major difficulties in submission. I'm going to give you four under this first question of what is submission. Four difficulties that would hinder this joyful embrace. First difficulty you're going to run into is that husbands are sinners. Husbands represent Christ, but they are not Christ. They will fail. Christ's leadership is perfect. A husband's leadership is not. There will be sin and weakness and failure on the husband's part. There will be a lot in his leadership that is not worthy of respect. And yet, the wife's respect, that is her submission, is not contingent on the quality of her husband's leadership. She is called to submit to him and respect him, whether he's a good leader or not. She is to have a gentle and quiet spirit, winning him over, not by taking the lead from him, but by her respectful and pure conduct. This is very difficult, and it is very precious in the sight of God. The weight of the office of wife is felt keenly in these difficult circumstances, yet the call remains the same. Wives, see to it that you respect your husbands. First difficulty, husbands are sinners. Second difficulty, wives are sinners. Humbleness, gentleness, respectfulness, pure conduct, these things are not natural to a wife, not in a godly way. Wives, the way of life that you are called to can only be done in the power of the Spirit, in the newness of life in Christ. As long as you do not walk according to the Spirit, you will not be able to be a godly wife. If you give in to your flesh, you will fail, and you will compound the difficulties in your marriage, and compound the difficulties that your husband already has in leadership, as much as you may desire to change him. This reality of sin in both husbands and wives puts the relationship in mortal danger. The breaking of the relationship in the garden can only be healed through repentance and faith in Christ. That's the only way you're going to have a godly marriage. No amount of therapy or counseling or marriage retreats or self-help books or anything else will avail you until you submit yourself to God. Third difficulty that we face in submission is this: submission is not equal to worship. This is important because not only does the church submit to Christ, but she also worships him. However, even though the wife submits to her husband, she does not worship him. She worships God alone. Therefore, she may not always agree with her husband. She thinks for herself. She keeps her own mind and intelligence and opinions. But she knows how to walk in a manner that is able to yield to her husband in joyful embrace of his leadership. Also, she sees changes that her husband does need to make, and she helps him change. She does not worship him, she helps him. She is not his worshiper, she is his helper. With her heart, with her godly spirit, with her mind, with her body, she submits to the authority of her husband, and thus she will be his great, great helper in life. Which he is in need of. A godly wife is one of the greatest gifts a man can receive in this world, and she is able to help him through the difficulties he faces as a leader and as a man. Her helping is invaluable to him. There's no price that can be paid for such help. It is the gift of God. And wives, this is a great blessing that only you can give. Hear this. You are the only person in the whole world that can be this for your husband. There is no one else that he can turn to for the help that you have to offer. You are the only one. It's yours to give. Do not reject this blessing by trying to take authority and leadership that is not yours. You will do damage. The fourth difficulty is related to this last one. We said wives do not worship their husbands. And fourth, they do not submit to sin. Some husbands will try to lead their wives into sin, and in that case, a wife does not submit. Now that's challenging. How do you still live with respect to your husband and in a godly spirit towards him, and yet not submit to him in regards to sin? And situations will vary. But just as the Bible says, we fear God and honor the King, so here, wives, you honor your husband, but you fear God alone. You do not give in to sin, even if your husband asks for it or attempts to demand it. You resist him, but this does not mean that you rebel against your husband or run him down or now have the right to rule over him or take leadership from him because he would lead you into sin. The Bible says that wives are still to exemplify respectful and pure conduct towards unbelieving husbands. Do you feel the weight of your office? You still need to respect even if you cannot follow. It's hard. It requires wisdom. Wives, work hard at cultivating respect for your husband out of reverence to Christ and obedience to God. Respect him. Let your love for God and thankfulness for his salvation provided for you, let these things spur you on to godliness in your marriage. That will sustain you in times of difficulty. So despite these four difficulties we have identified, God has promised to be with you, husbands and wives. He gives you his spirit and his grace to help you in your need. These difficulties should not discourage you, but encourage you to run to Christ and seek his aid, to study the word, walk in faith, and there find strength for obedience. And if obedience should sometimes fail, and it does, repentance and forgiveness heals the wound that disobedience creates. We really do have all we need for godliness in our marriages. Second question we're going to talk about today is, why do we submit? Why? Obviously, we do so because God has said. That's reason enough right there. But let's look at that a little closer. We're going to find four things here as well under this question of why we submit. First reason why we submit is to testify to Christ and the church. Paul says this is a deep and profound mystery, but the one flesh of a husband and wife refers to Christ and the church. So, the wife's submission to her husband is to show, to represent the submission of the church to Christ. That's kind of a holy theater, a divine play, a heavenly romance. And it's not entertainment, but one of eternal significance. It is a play of defiance in the face of a hostile audience. Because the world is watching, and it does not enjoy the show. The world does not approve of a wife's submission because they instinctively know what it means. They hear the message loud and clear. They instinctively understand what is being communicated, authority and submission. They hear the voice of God calling out through this divine theater of a godly marriage. When the world sees godly leadership and submission in their rebellious hearts, they feel the judgment of God and they hate it. And the purer the representation, the clearer the call is going to be. So why do we submit? To send forth a clear testimony of Christ and his bride, the church. This ultimate romance is ours to live and experience through marriage. Second reason why we are to submit is out of reverence for Christ. See that back in verse 21, just before our passage, Paul sets this up. Out of reverence for Christ, we are to imitate God and be like Christ. Jesus became a servant. He submitted to the will of the Father, even to death. Out of reverence for him, we are to submit one to another. And Paul lays this out for us in the coming verses. Wives to your husbands, children to your parents, servants to your masters. Submission to authority out of reverence for Christ, who set an example for us. Let us not think that we are above our master. We're the disciples, not the master. Christ does not submit to the church, but the church submits to Christ. Parents do not submit to their children, but the children to the parents. Which incidentally is why there's such chaos in families, because parents are submitting to their children. Parents, hear that word. Masters do not submit to their servants, but the servants to their masters. And husbands do not submit to their wives, but wives to their husbands. That's the way it is supposed to work. When we get these things wrong, the order of society begins to break down. When children rule, when servants command their masters, when the church defies her Savior, when wives lead their husbands. There is an order of authority and submission within creation which Christ lived perfectly. And out of reverence for him, we are to submit to one another in our God-given roles. Husbands, do you feel that pressure yet? Your wife is feeling it. Your wife is to submit to your authority, that's true. But do you consider that as your divine right? Or have you worked hard so that she can do it joyfully? Husbands, your wife may submit to you, but does she trust you? Have you shown yourself worthy of her trust? Is she safe with you? That's your task, to show yourself worthy of her trust as she seeks to obey this command here. Third reason we are to submit is to expose evil. This is related to what we've been saying. We are told to expose the works of darkness and to bring them into the light. And we do that by knowing what the Lord's will is and in doing it. Living holy lives in obedience to his command, in this case, submission in marriage, it shines a light on the darkness and exposes evil for what it is. And it's not only the world that is going to see it, but our kids are going to see it. Our children need to see this lived out as well, so that they can see how good marriage is. How wives and husbands can live together in love and harmony. How kids need to see this in our day. They almost never see it in their lives. In the media, movies, talk shows, cartoons, sitcoms, the news, almost never depicts healthy marriages. No one champions healthy marriages. It's all dysfunction. It's all a mockery. It's all a joke, a great big funny divorce. Just delightful debauchery, and it's all so much darkness, and our kids get that forced into them every day. This evil must be exposed by godly husbands and wives. In that light, children will begin to understand the picture. This divine play that points to Christ as the loving, protecting, providing good husband to the church, his bride. Children need to see that divine movie played out in the theater of their own homes, in the lives of their parents. It's how they will see Christ most clearly. Fourth reason why wives are to submit to their husbands is because husbands are leaders, whether they do a good job or bad. It's how God has made it to be. It's how it is. A wife who refuses to submit ends up submitting all the same. God has made it so. Does the husband do nothing but sit on the couch all day? Watch TV? That is him leading. That is him leading. And she submits to that authority, perhaps by doing all the work he is not doing. He does nothing, so she does everything. She does submit to his bad leadership, which is why I said that women have suffered most in the battle of sexes, although it's starting to change in our culture now. That's for a different day. Does he insult her looks or her character or her mind, and she responds by dressing differently, by acting differently, or by becoming bitter against him? She is submitting to his bad leadership in the way she responds to him. It's how it is. Leadership and submission happens all the same, whether you recognize it or not. The question is if it's in a healthy manner or not. Women suffer when men lead poorly. And men, you will be held to account for your leadership. Wives, when you submit out of reverence for Christ, you may face difficulty. But in your submission, you regain part of what you lost in the garden. In Christ, you are restored, even though you suffer. When you rebel against your husband, you are Eve taking the fruit and falling all over again. Submission does not rob you of your joy, of your peace, of your personality, of your value. No, the godly submission of a wife to her husband out of reverence for Christ shows the power of God to heal that which was broken. It is the divine picture of God's power to overcome evil. So this brings us to our third question this morning. Who are wives to submit to? Wives, this answer is clear. Scripture says you are to submit to your own husbands. And you single women, consider Christ as your husband. Submit to your own husband, or you will end up submitting to many husbands. Let me tell you what I mean. Our world would tell you to submit to nobody. To do what you want. The modern feminist movement, as an idealism, would tell you that you are the same as men in all things. Or better. Whereas God would tell you that you are different than men. Not worse. Not worse. Not worse. Never accept that word. Not worse. But not better either. The feminist movement as an idealism would tell you that you are just like men in all things and you should do everything that a man does. But that's not true. God tells you that you are equal in value, in preciousness to God. Men and women are absolutely equal and there can be no distinction made between them. We will not stand for inequality before God. The church must fight for the equality of value between men and women. They are inherently equal in value before God, but men and women are substantially different from one another in their gifting, in their calling, in their capabilities, in their very creation. Men are to do things that women are not called to do. Women are to do things that men are not called to do. That does not change value. As the feminist movement would say, an idealist feminist would say that any difference between the sexes is nothing short of discrimination. And that is a bold-faced lie that only drives the wedge of the curse deeper in the relationship between men and women. You know who loves the feminist movement? This might surprise you. You know who loves it? Men. Evil men, specifically, love the modern feminist movement. You know why? Because men are the great benefactors of this feminism. We said two things earlier, that men lead whether they lead or not, and that women suffer the most out of this reality. Now we're going to see this played out. This is going to be in full display for us to see. Women, you are told that you can do whatever you want with your bodies. You can abort your babies. You can dress as provocatively as you like. You can flaunt your sexuality as much as you want. You can take your nude selfies. Moreover, You can protect yourselves. You can provide for yourselves. You can get your own career. Get your own motherhood all at the same time. All this and more. You can have and do it all. And who benefits from all this freedom? Evil men do. They receive from you sex without commitment. They escape the responsibility of being a father. They get to lust as much as their evil hearts desire. They don't have to provide or respect or even care about women at all, because these women should be free. These men push the lie that women can somehow show their bodies to anybody and everybody if they wish, and somehow they are empowered. Lies. Hear that. Know that. These women are enslaved more and more by the whims and desires of evil men, like the Israelite slaves in Egypt. These women make bricks for building an evil empire. And then they are told that they now have to get their own straw too. Provide for yourself. Pay your own way. Lose a few pounds. Kill your baby. Sexual slavery is freedom. Oh, these men love the modern feminist movement. Yes, women who rebel against God's authority and commands end up being the slaves of many husbands. These men would tell our young girls, you know what, make your sexuality the same as ours. Why don't you think like we do? Act like we do. And then you'll be free. Give us your body to look at. Become an object for us to use. Keep your heart and your mind and your babies to yourself. And then you'll be free. While they feed their never-ending lust. That's the message of our culture, of our society, of social media, of Hollywood. They say that men should never abuse women, which is absolutely true. But then they go and change the meaning of the word abuse. And women get loaded with burdens they cannot bear and are deemed free. As they are slowly crushed beneath that load, used and then discarded with a derisive "be free," there are no words to describe this evil. Submission to husbands is declared bad, and slavery is offered in its place. And women suffer even as they believe they are living in freedom, whether it's in the boardroom or the bedroom. Now let me just add this. There is nothing wrong with women having jobs, having a career. There's nothing wrong with being single. Please don't take what I'm saying that way. Those are issues for a different day. And with all this talk of sexuality and the twisting of God's created intent, let us just say that in the context of marriage, sexually, have at it. It's good. Sexuality and seduction are glorious. Go for it. In the marriage, there is freedom. There is a ravishing love and sexuality and a passionate pursuit of oneness that shows the relationship of Christ and the church. Submit to your own husbands, wives. There should be copious copulation in marriage. How's that for a quote? It means there should be lots of sex in marriage. I thought I might get one of those this morning. Sin and the curse messed everything up. But Christ became a curse for us so that we may be healed and in proper relationship with each other, protected, secure, and godly re-established. Wives, do you long to be free? Submit to your own husband. Flaunting your body as wicked boys high-five each other makes you a slave to them and their desires. Debauchery does not lead to freedom. Evil men encouraging you to sin, to abortion, to pornography, to lesbianism, to taking leadership belonging to husbands will not bring you peace. There is no life in all this death. Do not run from submission into the shackles of slavery. That's where you will end up. We do submit to one another whether we like it or not. The question is, who governs your submission? God or man? When you walk in the room, ladies, do men treat you with honor and respect? Or do they wink at each other because you have accepted slavery and now their lusts can run free? Men and women both, hear this, men and women both have a responsibility to respect godly femininity. It is to be honored. And all around us it lays in tatters, trampled by the world. Wives, hear the word of God to you. Submit to your own husbands as the church submits to Christ. And husbands, give your life for her as Christ did for you. And in all things, let the world see and be utterly astonished at this divine theater of a leading husband and a submitting wife together in a joyful embrace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in our day, this word can be challenging, and there are many questions left unanswered after a brief time in your word. But Lord, we pray that your word today will bear fruit in the lives of husbands and wives as they seek to understand, to submit themselves to your word, to accept joyfully and willingly the roles that you have given. May you give grace. May you give strength. May you give courage. Lord, may the joyful embrace be seen by our children. May it be seen by the world. May they see and be convicted and moved by this powerful play depicting Christ in the church. Lord, may you raise up godly families. At Cornerstone, may you be glorified in our marriages, in our relationships, whether married or single. May we understand and may we come into alignment with what your word has for us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.